Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. I think we're at episode like 16. There's 16 of these people. And it's the weekly Black Outtails podcast, premium podcast where we talk about nerd shit. And I always try to have some nerds around so we can discuss it together. This week, Karen is out. She is eating pizza in the other room with her cousin because fuck it. And I do have some guests on the show, though. I didn't do the show by myself. I promise I would never do a podcast by myself. That's what crazy people do. Speaking of crazy, it is Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. What's up, man?
What's going on, people?
Chilling, chilling, man. You getting your whole MMA thing on this week, man? You been busy all night?
Oh, yeah, basically. I got some, last two weeks we had fights that I had to go to. I get a brief 4-week vacation, and then I'm training guys for the next fight on the 28th of September. So, yeah, that's become my life.
Fitness is a way of life, man. We also, speaking of fitness being a way of life, we have a dude that just watched Pain and Gain. It's my man, H2O Kev. What's up, dude?
I'm on the Nerd Off. Nerd Off.
It's good to talk to you again,
what's
Kev.
On, man? Yeah, man, Pain and Gain was fucking crazy as shit.
It's good, right?
My only issue is that, god damn, it's so fucking long. Like,
it is long.
Right when I think it should end, I'm like, all right, why is it still going on? And Michael, I think that's Michael Bay. That's all it is, dude. Like, but
it's
Pain
very
and Gain was awesome.
It's very Bad Boy 2, Bad Boys 2 to me, where if you're digging it 2 hours in, you're hyped when they go to another island off the coast of Miami. But if you're not, you're like, really, dude?
I was digging it, but I was like, all right, man, you gotta wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, I forgot to take it back to Redbox tonight. I'll probably watch it again. Because I still have it here on Blu-ray, and I'll be honest, man, it was funny as shit. Like, The Rock kept having me tripping, being this Jesus Christ dude, beating up everyone who he thought was evil and shit.
Yes.
Like, dog, they had a scene where this nigga's like, yo, he's The Rock and shit, and like, he just got paroled out of jail, he's working at a church, the priest tries to molest him.
Yes.
And I'm like, yo, this is The Rock. And like, The Rock beats the priest's ass, yo. I was just dying. This movie's fucking incredible.
Mark Wahlberg completely delivered a great performance in that movie,
yeah,
too.
He was good too.
Just comedic.
Tony Shalhoub.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great too. Like, he played that asshole. I was like, fuck this dude too. I was like, yo, I don't care, but then they just took it too far.
Yeah, I think I'm about to grab that on Redbox and try it myself. So
yeah, you definitely got to, man. Treat yourself, because it's really good and it's hilarious to boot. So like I always thought Michael Bay is a very underrated director of comedy anyway. So I'm cool with him when he just like does like a Bad Boys 2, Bad Boys 1.
Right.
Something like this, you know, comedy takes place in Miami. It's a true story, but it's out of control. That's what he's good at, but as soon as you throw some big ass robots in there, it's like he just loses his mind.
Or mutated turtles.
I think you mean alien turtles.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But yeah, this is the Nerd Off, man. Speaking of nerdy conversations, and we're back for another week, man. A lot of nerd shit happened. I didn't think a lot of nerd shit happened, and then I start, you know, actually looking through the articles I saved this week, and I was like, good grief, man. There's really no rhyme or reason, so I'm just going to go in the order of the way that I save these articles, and we'll discuss them, man.
Let's have some fun then, brother.
All right, first things first. I'm a big fan of this franchise. I know most people aren't, but Dead or Alive 5 has been announced. And
I thought that was already out.
Oh, is Dead or Alive? Yeah, you're right. I own Dead or Alive 5. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, I could have swore, dude, I was playing that shit with my homeboy like a few weeks ago. Like, we were chilling up in my apartment playing it. So,
yeah.
What the fuck you talking about?
I meant Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate. And it has, 231 costumes.
God damn.
Come on, man.
That's a lot of fucking costumes. And you know what? It's all because of that shit that happened with, like, ever since he did that beach volleyball shit, I really do think, like, the women of that game have just been, like, out there.
Yeah.
So, they gotta do that. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he put that beach volleyball shit into one of the Dead or Alive games just as, like, an extra bonus.
Yeah, you know what? I blame this on the fact that you pay for everything now. And it seems like a lot of, like, especially fighting games have just become the ultimate, like,
they are the biggest DLC whores I've ever fucking seen, dude.
Yes.
And I honestly, the biggest culprit I've seen lately has been Capcom. Like, I've seen other fighting games, like, you see, like, NetherRealm Studios did with Mortal Kombat.
Yo, when Injustice.
Injustice and Mortal Kombat. What they did with that with their DLC characters. Like, you pay, I think it was like $10 or 1,200 Microsoft points, something like that. You get 5 extra characters. And pretty much you pay for 4 of those and you get 1 extra for free or something like that. That's what, I think that's what it was with both of them. And they fucking brought out Freddy Krueger into the Mortal Kombat world. Yeah. And that shit was awesome. But you see people like Capcom, like you look at their Ultimate, I love Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but you go in their DLC, I mean, like you have characters that are already programmed into the game code on the disc, but you need the DLC, you need that DLC code or whatever to unlock them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I always hated, that, more so with Capcom, because they did it with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Jill Valentine and Shuma Gorath, like, I couldn't play them, but there were people who had hacked Xboxes, and they figured out how to bring that code out.
You know what? Go ahead, Chris, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think it's just, my biggest thing is, this is an issue with DLC as a whole, that companies aren't realizing that DLC is supposed to extend the game and be extra. It should bring value. It shouldn't just be on some, hey, because, I remember Arkham City kind of did this, and it kind of pissed me off a little bit. Hey, you guys want a new costume? Here's some DLC. Well, wait a minute. I want an actual, give me something to use, you know, give me, and then they added like in somewhat like Robin, I think had a little bit of a campaign, but the other characters they added in there were just for the challenge modes. And I'm like, that's not really worth the money. Like, give me some added value. That's why, you know, I think with BioWare, with Mass Effect 3, they got in trouble with people got mad at them for that, adding that, having that extra character and that other DLC that was on disc and you needed that. But then they added so much other DLC in there. They made all the extra DLC for the
multiplayer
free. Yeah. And then when Mass Effect 3 or BioWare does a DLC, they do a DLC. Yeah. Like, you get some value out of that shit.
They've been one of the better ones when it comes to making DLC for video games. The Dragon Age series as well. Yeah. Star Wars. No, well, they ain't even. Well, that was before the. That was before DLC. But yeah, BioWare tends to be like, they don't like to put out stuff that's like substandard. Like, and even though they're working for EA, you still don't even see them doing that, which is what I was really worried when they were even bought out by EA.
And so, with a story game, I think DLC should add to the story.
Like, exactly.
I think that should be a priority. Is like, okay, we the person who bought this game got it because they wanted to play hours of Tomb Raider, you know, whatever, as a single person story. I don't think you should just flip that while after they buy it and be like, and now here's 2 new outfits for Lara Croft. We'll take $5. Like, no, that's not fair.
Like what they did with Borderlands 2. I love Borderlands 2 DLC. I mean, they basically it's a whole new thing. Like, I haven't played the last one they did yet, but I'm looking forward to it because it's like they just, like, it's a whole new story.
And if you haven't heard, they're doing it again this fall. Yep. Like, they're bringing out some more DLC, which I was a little worried about, but when I actually read it, it sounds like an awesome mode. Yeah, they have, they up the level cap to 72, and then they have a new mode called Overload or some shit like that. I'm like, yo, it sounds awesome. I'll do it.
This is why that, and the thing is, that's why I bought a season pass from them and never thought twice. Like, it's like, what? $20 more on top of the 60 I spent? Great. I'll do that because I know I won't get ripped off. You're never going to just be like, here's a new head for your siren. Oh, that's all you get this time.
Right.
Only company I was like worried about was, whatchamacallit with BioShock. Because they didn't say anything about their DLC forever, and I bought that season pass for it, and then they finally dropped all the information. I'm looking back at it. I'm glad I bought that shit because it was so much cheaper back then that I'm getting all this great content.
I messed up. I'm one of the people that messed up. I had BioShock Infinite. I beat it, and I asked my man Aaron Rand Freeman. I said, "Hey, man, are they coming out with any story DLC for BioShock?" And he was like, "Nah, it's supposed to be all multiplayer." And I was like, all right, I guess I'll sell it because I don't care about the multiplayer. And then
I wait. How do you say it was like all multiplayer?
Well, no, I thought it was going to be.
See, that's the thing. Like the game itself on the case itself, it just says like, you know, single player.
Well, no, not multiplayer. It's the challenges. They have like a challenge mode.
Yeah.
So that's what it seemed like it was going to be. I thought the same thing, right? I still have it.
Yeah.
I never bought it, but I thought the same thing. I was like, so are they going to do story DLC? Because the way that story ends, you're like, how are you going to do story DLC?
Right. Right.
And, yeah. So.
But they did it, you know, and that's cool.
Yeah, how they said they're going to do it, I can't wait. It sounds really good. I just hope it breaks.
I might have to get it again, dude. Like, is that real? Because
I'm playing through it again right now. It's one of the few games I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, man, I forgot. I started off the show and I didn't ask what everybody was playing. So let's do a quick rundown of the week. You know, like, what'd you watch and what'd you play, man? Kev.
Since I've been off all week, I've been tackling a lot of Splinter Cell, the new Splinter Cell that came out. It's pretty awesome. The online mode is pretty good, too. And outside of that, I've been playing. Rockstar had a bunch of sales this week since leading up to Grand Theft Auto 5. I bought Midnight Club LA and the game Bully for like $10, both of them for $10 altogether.
Wow. So, well, that was online on Xbox Live, or?
Yeah. I don't know the Rockstar sale is going on, but Bully, which was like that, the Grand Theft Auto game set in a school.
Yeah.
That was, how much was that one? That was $250, and Midnight Club was $750.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what? I don't have a racing game that I play like that, and I really did like Midnight Club when it was out, so I bought it. And then I never played Bully, and I was like, well, it's only $250. It can't hurt. But I want something different sometimes, so I'm messing around with that.
That sounds dope, man. You been watching anything, or?
I've been pretty much watching old WWE wrestling documentaries on Netflix. It's like I've been watching all the ones from the guys of the 90s that I really liked, like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mankind. Like, I watched The Rock's first, that was great. Stone Cold Steve Austin surprisingly was really, really good, and I thought, actually, I give it Kev tears because there was like a point in it where I did kind of like tear up. Mick Foley.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Yeah, like when you're sitting there watching him doing the shit when he's going off the cage and whatnot, and you hearing all that, when you actually hear what they were talking about in the back, like I was like, man, this dude really sold himself for his fucking craft.
Yeah. When you say wrestler is fake, I just point to Mick Foley and be like, this dude had a tooth in his nose, yo.
Like I think when I was watching it, like, they were talking about it. They showed the scene where The Undertaker threw him off into the table, and, like, I remember watching that pay-per-view when I was back in, like, high school or whatever, and I was like, man, fuck. And, like, you see them trying to take Mick back, like, they put him on a stretcher, and this time when you're seeing it, like, Mick is, like, you've seen all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the other cameras that you don't get to see when you're watching the pay-per-view, and like you see the old people like Terry Funk, and everyone's like, Mick, don't, like, you did good. When he gets off the stretcher, and if you look at their faces when he goes through the cage and into the ring, like, they are literally crying. And yeah. It's something about seeing someone go above and beyond for their craft. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, he loved the sport, dude. Like that,
right.
Like watching him was one of the first times, like, cause I normally used to pick on wrestling cause my roommate was a super duper like asshole and he just loved wrestling. So it was one of those things where I knew if I picked on it, it would make him like extremely mad. But he had the Mick Foley documentary and it was one of the few things where I was just like, all right, man, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah. I'll let you ride on that one.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's pretty serious that he would do that. Chris, man, what have you been watching? What have you been playing?
But when I can get a chance to play stuff, I've been playing Dead Rises 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I got that was a free Xbox Live game. This one of the
glad you got to play that one. I played that years ago, and it's still fun.
Yo, no, it is. I love it. It is great. The only thing I have that I have a problem with is, you know, the save feature, man. I get the way they have the save set up is for the game, but they really need to have an automatic save after things like cutscenes.
Yes.
Because I'd be sitting there playing for like 2 hours, and I won't be paying attention. I'll be doing dumb shit.
If
like,
you forget to go into that goddamn bathroom, man, you go back, like, that was the most aggravating thing. Like, I have a character on that game built up to level 50. Man, there were so many times during those playthroughs where I would fucking die, and I'm like, you know what, I'll just start the whole thing over from the beginning.
Yeah, it's one of my biggest pet peeves is that save engine, and it's one of the reasons I didn't like the game when it came out, especially the first one, and I didn't even get the second one because I was like, I got tired of playing for 2 hours, and I just didn't understand how the save feature worked, so I would turn my Xbox off, go back, and I'm like, what happened to all the progress I made?
Oh, yeah. No, see, what happens is, I would play for 2 hours, make some progress, save a bunch of people, get in the story, and then I'll be doing dumb shit, but like, you know, I'm going to take a baseball bat and see how many zombies I can kill. You know, just going through there. Then I run out of shit and I die. And then I realize I haven't saved for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just be like, all right, I'm done now. I just turn the Xbox off and walk away. So I've gotten better at it now. And now I'm saving more often. Like now that I've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
But man, the first 2 or 3 days I played that shit, man, I got nowhere. I had to restart the game almost from the beginning every time I played. Because I kept forgetting to save. It was just stupid. Yeah.
You watching anything?
What I've been watching, I haven't got anything on Blu-ray, but I did get District 9. I just haven't watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I, been watching on Netflix,
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yo, dude.
One in the hood, G.
Dog, I just, yo, know, Master Shake is an asshole.
Son, one of the best characters.
My sophomore year of college, brother.
He is one of the best characters on TV ever of all time. He never is not an asshole, dude. Ever.
Oh my God. Like, I'll be watching the shit he says, and he'd be like so dismissive, and then I'll see people having fun. It's like, oh, no, it's my idea. Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah. I love how he throws shit on the ground and it always explodes. Just like one of his, like, low-key asshole characteristics is. He'll just, like, and, like, I love also how he picks on Miwat for no fucking reason.
No reason.
He abuses that fucking thing, man.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's just, like, he just treats him like shit. Like, I remember one time, he'll do the dumbest shit. Like, one of the things he did to like punish Meatwad and to bully him was to like, I think he like gave his he gave his number to charity.
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, now your number to charity. Now they'll never leave you alone. It's like the dumbest shit ever, dog. It's just fucking hilarious, man. Oh my God, I've been dying watching it.
Did you finish that season yet?
I don't think I've finished that season yet. But I did. I don't know. I don't think it's first season, but I was watching the episode came. Because I watched the episode on Netflix, and I also watch, they run, you know, they always run episodes
there are at least, like, 7 or 8 seasons of that shit. I remember back, like, when I first got out of college, I had, like, the first 5 seasons on DVD at the time, and they still keep making new episodes. So it's,
One of my favorite episodes, though, the one I think, it's not on Netflix, it's the one that came on, like, Cartoon Network randomly, it's the one with the Jesus Freak fruit. Holy shit.
See, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's like David Cross is one of the voices.
They had Bert, was the banana's name was Bert, and yes. He was like a recovering coke addict.
And an alcoholic.
And so he kept, every now and then he'd be like, oh, is that liquor over there? That's liquor over there.
Yeah.
Oh,
he started pouring the liquor down the drain. Or the apple did or whatever. He tried to drink it out of, the drain pipe trap underneath the sink.
Right.
And he's like, it gets the liquor faster.
Yo, this shit was fucking hilarious. Cause at one point he was like, yo, crack, I need it, or something like that. Because you don't even see him anymore. You just hear him yelling at the apple in the kitchen. And it's like it's an abusive relationship.
So good.
There are 2 episodes with my man Carl that just killed me. One, there was one where Master Shake it was Fryman made an enlarging ray. And he just had that shit. Like, he helped out Frylock or whatever.
Yes.
And like he just had that shit pointed at his crotch. He's like, yeah, we're going to get some ladies tonight.
Yeah.
And he and like, just enlarges his joint, and then all these crabs come out giant as shit.
That ends the show. Like, that's the other thing about Aqua Teen that people sleep on is I like how they always end it on a punchline and right before you can laugh.
Right.
it's like crabs, and then you like, and then shit just goes, Aqua Teen.
There was another one he did where he was on a beach called South Beach Paradise, and he was actually had a South Beach parasite.
Yes.
And the shit was just eating him from the inside, dog.
One of my favorite, dude, where he's crawling on the ceiling and licking the light.
South Beach Paradise.
Yeah. It's like, Carl, have you looked at this candy bar? Actually, it says South Beach Parasite. Paradise Parasite. Who cares? I was like, what?
Right.
Beach, baby.
Then on the low is a bet between Meatwad and Carl who can lose the weight. And Shake is trying to make Meatwad lose the weight. I mean, not lose weight. And Shake's not even in on the bet. He just keeps trying to wedge his way in. He's like, I'm gonna win that bet, boy. And it's like, and Frylock's like, no, man, you're not in the vet. Can just stay out of this. And the whole time he's like sabotaging, like one time he made like pancakes, while like Frylock had to go like do something in a lab, and Meatwad starts eating, he's like, I think I'll just have one pancake. Eating contest, it starts eating all the pancakes, and Shake's like, yeah, boy, I'm gonna weigh your ass out on this bet. I was like, this is great.
No, there's the one where, he created life because the kitchen was so messy and then cleaning everything up.
Yes!
And so he created this, like, spongy, like, joint that was actually nice to Meatwad. It was like Meatwad's best friend. But then Shake got sick. And
yes!
In order to get better, he had to eat Drippy.
Yes!
And the dude's almost, they're still alive. Then Shake, like, goes out into the middle of the street, and is about to get hit by the car, and Jimmy pushes him out of the way, and he gets run over by the car himself.
And dies. Goes,
he fucking pushed me.
Yeah.
Remember that shit.
Hey, and then the best part is, when Drippy saves his life, Meatwad's like, Drippy, no! And, Shake turns around, and he's like, you know, he told me when he was pushing me that. He never liked you.
I saw this shit. I can't remember. I think it was on like Late Night or Cartoon. This episode was hilarious.
Old Drippy was like the episode where I was like, I think I love this show and I need to buy it.
Yo, that shit was so... It was such an asshole move. I was like, yo, he saved your life. He was like, but he fucking punched me. I was like, oh my god, yo.
And he ate Drippy. Like, he only needed a little bit of Drippy to live, and he ate all of Drippy.
The entire fucking
Drippy was
3 days later, dog.
He was like, you know, after a while, you're actually kind of good. You're acquired taste. Isn't that also at the end, like, Meatwad becomes goth because Drippy died, and then he goes to Carl's pool because they all gather over at Carl's pool all the time without his permission. And, he's like, yeah, I'm off of that. I'm Satan's onion now. And Frylock's like, I think you mean Satan's minion. He's like, yeah, Satan's minion. He's like, yeah, that was like when he pulls out this flyer for some wings, and that's what Shake tells him, like, yeah, he never liked you anyway. And right. It just ends. I was like, good grief.
Because Shake is always like, I want some, and he was like, yo, can I have some wings? Fine. He spits on the wings and gives it to him. It's like, yeah, man, Shake is such a fucking asshole, man. Yeah. That's just the greatest.
He never isn't, dude. That's the best part of that show is, there's no episode where he's not an asshole.
What was the one with the, I can't remember what the two aliens that,
the ones from,
not too nice, the other ones.
Oh, the other ones, the Plutonians or whatever.
Yeah, and like, every time he comes up with them, he's just an asshole to him. Cause he thinks he's like, the last episode I saw with them, they told him that, he thought it was he got a call for, cause they replicated him.
Yes.
And he thought it was like his big shot for acting, and so he thought the like replicator room was the actor. Like, he's such an asshole. He's like, this shit is just, he's such an asshole that you can't tell if he's doing it or if he's just being an asshole to be an asshole. It's
hey, have you seen the MCP Pants episode yet?
Yes,
dude, that's my favorite episode of all time, dude. MCP Pants. I like Candy and. Yes. And Meatwad and Carl both get hopped up on Candy and become addicted and go meet his ass down there at the warehouse. Dude, it's beautiful.
Dude, that's greatness.
MC Chris is the voice for MC P-Fans, and the way he talks in there is so good. He's like, what's up, my Schneegros? And Carl's like, hey, we came up to do so-and-so. As VY starts laughing at him, he's like, calm down, Carl. I got this.
Right.
He's like, what's up in the E? They start talking in like this weird-ass slang. It's so good, man. If I was going to introduce anybody to the show, that's the episode I think most people would be like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Man. So I've been watching that. Like I said, man, I've been just enjoying the whole cartoon Adult Swim shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I come in late, there's nothing on TV.
Right.
That's around that time. So I can sit there and watch that and fall asleep. And, you know, I've been watching some of the Squidbilly episodes, shit like that, man.
They had one last week about, where Rusty becomes a superhero.
Oh, I missed that one though.
He calls himself the Incubator, and he has nunchucks and jumps down, hits people with his nunchucks, and then shoots ink on them. It's so good, man. It's like such a like take on a Dark Knight and that whole like superhero thing. They even have like the ominous music and shit, like when he gets ready to put on the mask. It's real good, man.
My favorite Scooby-Doo episode is still the one with the first Chalky episode where he asks Rusty, he's like, Rusty, what do you think about white people?
Yeah.
I think they're all right, you know?
Yeah, he's like the Doobie Brothers?
Right. He's like, he ain't ready. automatically goes, he ain't ready.
Yeah, they were so racist against white people that episode. So good.
The sheriff tries to tell him all the stuff the white people did with the white people history?
Yes.
Dunk? You ever heard of Larry Bird? The duck. That's a white person. That's a white people's move. I fucking lost it, dog. I lost it.
He's like, this ain't nothing but chalky propaganda. All right. This is what I've been watching, man. I watched this anime series called Sword Art Online. I watched it through Crunchyroll, but it comes on Cartoon Network now on Saturdays. So if you want to watch the English translation, you can. If you don't mind subtitles, you can watch it on the Crunchyroll app. And it was really good, and especially for people that play video games, I just love the way that they portrayed being inside of a video game world, you know, and like kind of how it always exists in your mind and different aspects of a MMO and an RPG. Like, it was just really dope, man, how people get relationships and, you know, when they're portraying it with the cartoon is dope. And then it takes like a twist halfway through where like it's just a whole bunch of stuff. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there's so many twists in this thing. And one of my favorite twists is there's a point where in the game, you know, you don't necessarily know who who the person is outside the game. There's a point where there's like a love triangle involving his sister, where he's like in the game, his sister is crushing on him. And it's just an interesting concept to cover where you're like, I guess you can be anybody in these games. I mean, what is the line for what's crazy and stuff? And it's not, you know, some type of explicit, game, but I mean, a show, but it's just the fact that they even touch on those topics. I thought it was cool. And I've been watching Breaking Bad. I'm up to season 2 now. It's been real good, man. A lot of people told me to watch it. I think it's a little unevenly paced and slow. And they do vacillate between like super serious drug shit and white people problems.
Yeah, I watched that. I can't remember if I got through. I know I did all of season 1.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of season 2 I got, but no, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah, they do. It's like some of these things are like, wow, this is really a white person's problem.
Yeah, it really weirds you out when they're just like, yeah, man, this Mexican dude is coming to kill us and blah, blah, blah. And then the next episode is like, I cook breakfast for my wife every day and she doesn't want to eat with me.
Right. Like, or she gives me a dry ass hand job.
Right. You're like, well, okay. All right. Well, maybe next week we'll sweet up. But it's not so bad when you can just skip to the next episode, you know, immediately after. So the pacing isn't too bad. I played Need for Speed Undercover again. I got the completionist achievement because I beat every thing in the game. But it was one of those things where I just play that game to veg out. So I just keep hitting like, I'll do this event, I'll do that event. And then all of a sudden I got this achievement and no more events popped up. And I was like, well, what do I do now? Because it doesn't.
It's like that. What was that shit from Forrest Gump when he's sitting there just like playing ping pong by himself? He's like, I can't play ping pong no more.
Yeah. That's how it felt. It was like I won the championship.
Not
and then
for speed, you can't run.
Right. I had to figure out how to start a new game because it automatically loads your game. And it doesn't give you the option at a menu screen. So I had to like figure out like, how do I start over? But
I had to do that with a Midnight Club because like I downloaded and I popped it and started playing it. I was like, fuck, that's right. I still had a save file on my system. Mm-hmm. And I had like a garage full of like 13 cars that were like decorated design. I was like, you know what? I got to restart because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And I had to go through. I had to like go all the way back into the system just to delete, which. You know, I hope Xbox fixes that. You know, that's something they should be able to fix in the next.
Yeah, it's definitely a game design flaw too with some of these games because they need to offer me the ability to have more than one save file.
Yeah, because I think I had to do it with Crackdown as well.
Yeah, and you know what? The we were talking about this earlier with fighting games, but Need for Speed is also abusive of the. Oh, you want this car? Pay $5. Oh, you want some tires? Pay $3. Oh, you know,
I don't
know
if you brought up. Maybe you brought it up the week when you talked about it on Twitter on a Nerd Off that I wasn't on. But mm-hmm. I remember one that you said was. Remember when it used to be that you used to get the kind of shit in games through achievements, not through
right.
buying
like,
them.
Let right. me have yeah. the opportunity to play through it and earn it myself. Now I will give Need for Speed credit. For the most part, you can earn it, but maybe because I was at the end of the game. They hadn't thought about it, but mm-hmm. it was like I was trying to earn like more achievements because I was still buying new cars, and it was like, well, there's no more events, so you can't earn any more money in this world. I'm like, so I can't even upgrade my shit. Like, I'm just stuck with whatever car I had, so I had to start the game over. But yeah, and then I played The Witcher 2, and I just started playing that.
Let me know what you think of that because I've actually played it and. Mm. I was just surprised how easy it was to make your character have sex in the game, and I was like, oh, this game is fucking crazy. But it's actually a really, really good RPG. Like I'm trying to think of the style, like hack and slash RPG. It's also kind of, there's points where you have to be creative before you're going into battles and shit like that. So, like, I enjoyed it.
The fighting.
Narrative is actually really cool.
So far, the fighting mechanics are throwing me off. Cause I'm not used to games where I have to be like, I'm gonna set this trap here, then I'm gonna, you know, use this spell.
Yeah, it's
like
you wanna go into battles, like putting shit on your sword to make right. sure that. Yeah, it took me a while to get used to that too, but once you do, it does get a lot easier. And then, you know, it's a lot of fun following that narrative and like trying to find like all the little things before you go on to the next part of the story.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm doing. Like, and I'm not making a judgment on it. It's just early in the game. Although I will say one thing, and this isn't specific to Witcher 2, but every game. Hey man, video game makers, I don't want to mix herbs anymore, guys. Like,
I saw you tweet about this, like maybe either this week or was it last week or something?
It was this week. And I'm fucking sick of being the baddest dude in the planet. Who stops to pick berries every 5 minutes, man? Like, there's gotta be another way that's just not as complicated. Like, I would actually take, the Zelda version of go to a store and buy a fucking, like, potion and keep it myself rather than, you know, mix together 7 ingredients and you can have this potion or mix it that way and it'll do this thing. I don't like that.
More the reason why I think I prefer Borderlands over Call of Duty and games like that mm-hmm. is because when you go out there into a battle, like, especially if you're playing by yourself, like, you have a finite amount of health, you have a finite amount of shields, like, you have to keep constant track of that. If you're playing Call of Duty or something, actually, most shooters nowadays, like, you start to get hurt, all you gotta do is, like, duck behind something for just a few seconds.
Right.
And it takes that whole element of, like, the danger out of it. Like,
right.
I get what you're saying. Like you, I think we'd rather have to go into a battle, take something that you might need. I'm trying to think of a game that, so I know I've played something recently where every time I go out, I make sure I have like health on me.
Right.
Before I go out there and get into like any kind of battles. I know I did it with,
I think it's like State of Decay
and stuff like that.
Yeah. It feels like a mini game that they put in games to make them last longer. And right. I don't need that shit. Like, I actually like the streamlined shit.
Or just, like I've said to you before, just give me the white box with the
red
cross on it. That's good enough. Or, like, for instance, when you have RPG games, because what it is some of these games are trying to add these RPG elements into them. So, like, Skyrim. You can do the whole alchemist thing and have potions and things like that, but it really is kind of optional. If I don't want to do that, guess what I do? I just go buy a potion. So either I can buy a potion or I can make it if I want to.
That's a fucking great example. Fuck you, Chris. Huh? I'm trying to come up with an example for the same thing you're saying right now. And I'm like, fuck, Skyrim makes a perfect example of this bullshit. God damn it, I ain't think of the game first.
Yeah, that way, if you want to do that, and the thing about Skyrim is if you do that, you can make your own and you can make it more powerful and you can make other things through it. That's great. And it's a skill that you have to do. Like, what I hated, I think we talked about this before, like what they did in Far Cry. Like, it was stupid because it's like I'm not building any kind of skill. I'm not gonna have like a herb making skill. So what's the whole point of me, you know, getting herbs to get health? Just give me the damn white box.
Yeah, it really does add time to the game that you don't need, and especially when it makes shit tedious. Where I'm like, now I gotta find 3 red herbs. At some point, you just give up. Where you're like, you know what, man? If I find herbs on the way, cool. But I'm not gonna stress this, and I think they didn't design the game with that in mind. They designed it for you to want to do this shit, but it's not fun. I gotta do a cutscene every time I cut some herbs. I gotta, you know, when I collect these things in The Witcher. Oh, that is one complaint I do have about The Witcher, and maybe it's because it was PC first. The item detection is not precise enough, like, or maybe it's too precise where you have to be in the exact right spot to pick up loot. Like, it's 2013, dog.
That's something else I've been a little irritated by. Borderlands, and you know what, Borderlands fixed that between 1 and 2, because I think the first one you had to pick up all the ammo and everything by itself and whatnot. This one, like, you can walk over the ammo, health, and everything else. You automatically pick it up. Yep. It's only the guns, which makes sense because all the guns have different powers. You might be playing with someone and you want to actually, hey, you want to take a look at this gun first or something like that.
Exactly.
But that's irritating as fuck, dude. When you gotta, like, go all the way around trying to pick up every little bit. Let me just walk around, automatically go into my pocket. I understand that. I don't need that much immersion into a game.
Right. Yeah. So that's a little bit annoying, but, I'm playing it and I'm not down in the game. I still am going to keep playing. I just didn't have that much time this week, but I'll get more into it. Let's get back onto, some articles here. New York Times website is back up after a cyber attack. I did not know it was down.
I didn't even know it was attacked.
Yeah, and it was attacked by the Syrian Electronic Army. Right after, you know, talks about us going into Syria started. And
yeah, that sounds like a fucking Call of Duty clan.
It really does. And it also sounds like, somebody that would be a villain in, like, White House Down 2 or
Olympus. Yeah, a possible white man villain.
Right.
A bad one, but a bad one, not a good one, a bad one.
The SEA.
Yeah,
you're the C. No, we're the Syrian Electronic Army.
Yeah, so did you know that the C is? We are like the sea. We will swarm you with our infinite waves.
Don't swarm on the oceans, dude. Actually,
it sounds like something Dr. Evil will do. So yeah, I just took down your New York Times website. Now what are you going to do?
Right.
Nobody reads that shit anyway.
Yeah, we're going to actually have it back up by 3 p.m.
Right, right.
That's what we're going
to
do.
We'll just go to the Washington Post or something like that. Guys.
Thanks, dog. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg's This Is the End is returning to theaters next month. I like this movie. It was probably my favorite comedy this year. But it's weird, right, that they're just bringing it back. Like, it,
I kind of feel like maybe they're trying to cash in, because I know I fucked up. I kept calling The World's End This Is the End. Like, maybe I could honestly see that. But they're two almost completely, well, they follow the same kind of basic storyline, but, you know, I thought The World's End was better.
Like, I wonder if this is the thing that's gonna be like a new thing, where to avoid some of these movies in the summer, if people that release their stuff early are going to start being like, well, let's take it out for the next 4 weeks because we don't want to go against, you know, bigger budget movies. But in August, when shit starts winding down, the indie flicks come out, we'll put our shit back out.
Well, you know, I think they've been doing this for a while. A lot of movies, this is the first time I've ever heard a movie like this doing that. But this is what it did at the box office. I see why. It only cost $32 million to make, but it made over $100 million.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they got a good release. When you get a good movie like that, it gets a big release, that gets a huge box office like that. Sometimes they do the whole review.
Oh, yeah, I'm just surprised that, because like they're also, this is going to become a thing, I think, because they're planning on doing this for for Paramount's the World War Z and Star Trek Into Darkness.
I can believe that. I would believe those two, but I just would not see them doing The World's End. I can see them doing, like, for a
you mean World This War Is The End.
For This Is The End. I can see, even for World's End, I mean, I wouldn't see them doing it for that one either, because they're comedies. But for Star Trek Into Darkness and for, whatchamacallit, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Doing those.
Star Trek Into Darkness, I could kind of understand if it was, like, for the IMAX thing, because sometimes they do that when IMAX stuff comes out and it's like, well, now we're kicking you out of the theater early because something new came out. But I don't know, man. I guess it is weird, and I wonder if it's gonna become a thing because these movies all made money,
right?
So it's kind of like,
well, a lot of I would almost like Avatar did it. I think Avengers did it.
Yeah, they did. They both did.
I think Avatar started it.
Yeah,
they re-released these after they've been big enough, and they're like, well, it's a big hit, so let's see if we can get some more money out of it.
Yeah, well, I think
back in the theaters.
I think Titanic started it.
Oh, you're right.
But the thing is, though, those movies made so much money that it was almost crazy. These movies didn't make, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like these movies, like Avengers made $1 billion, and you're like, well, I understand.
Right.
World War Z and Star Trek just did better than expected. And I don't know. Like I said, I'm not doubting it. I'm just wondering if it'll continue because this is the time of the year where we start being like, you know what, man, I'm gonna stay in this Friday. You know?
Well, you know, honestly, I think it's a brilliant move. I think they should do it because it's just like, I've been saying this for a while. Hey guys, when football season's over, why don't y'all just re-show football? Like, well, why not? I mean, like, yeah, we've already seen this shit. But people are so bored out of their mind with not having sports on.
I actually would not mind that on a Sunday.
Right. So I think it's the same thing here. This is getting to the point where there aren't any. Like, I just realized this week we didn't do a movie review because there was nothing we really wanted to see.
Yeah.
And even last week, I think it was like one.
Came out. Yeah, they gave us one.
Right.
But no one wanted to go see it.
So. Right. I think I might go see The Grandmaster this weekend.
Yeah.
Did that come out already? I think it came out this week. So I can find, but that's it. If you look at what's coming out, there's not a lot of stuff anymore. So it's the perfect time to do it. Why not?
I guess it's crazy too because it's like the movies are coming out on Blu-ray in a week or two, and then you're putting it back in the theater while it's also out on Blu-ray. So
you know that's crazy
because there are some people who just love that theater. That theater experience.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just
like, and it's,
you know,
it's always different. Like I even still feel like it always feels different watching something in the theater because you know what
I agree.
My full attention. Like you have to like there's nothing else you can really focus on unless you have assholes around you who won't shut the fuck up.
I just want to see these numbers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like what? Like is this? Can this be? Because if like say you release these movies and maybe they make another 10 mil. Is that, you know, sufficient enough for them to be like, let's keep this trend going? Right. Or is 10 mil like, oh man, we shouldn't even did this shit. Like, I wonder what their expectations from the re-release is.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I had no idea. I have no idea what these movies do afterwards.
Yeah.
I can even see to a point, maybe they're re-releasing it for people who probably just couldn't see it in the theater. Maybe they wanted to take their kids to have that theater experience.
Yeah.
So they take the kids earlier in the day or during the weekday, ones who aren't in school or something like that.
Also, what happens if this affects DVD sales? Like, what happens if Blu-rays, people are like, you know, I'd rather just watch it one more time in the theater than buy a Blu-ray. Like, would they be happier or less happy, I wonder?
Right.
That's a good
Anyway, I'm gonna be watching this shit because this is a good experiment.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. Like,
Like,
I'm just mad that World War Z is
made
his money back. That's I'm just sad about that.
And we've seen it with movies that could print money, but I've never seen it with films of this caliber where it's like, that was an unexpected hit, man. I don't know if you want to keep rolling the dice with that shit.
Yeah, roll the dice on that one, y'all.
You fuck around and do like a couple hundred thousand, you're gonna be like, what the fuck? Why we do this? But we'll see, man. And you know, and for the record, I know I down World War Z all the time, but I want people to know it's not that I hate the movie. I just hate you motherfuckers who called it Impossible White Man. Okay. I was completely would have been okay with this movie being mediocre, but right. you made me hate it because right. y'all don't know how to play
yeah.
right.
Oh yeah, I don't hate the movie. I just think it's that's okay.
Right.
But when people came out of it was like, oh my god, it's a no. Okay, well, no, dude, it's a zombie movie with barely any blood.
Come on, son.
It's like when people came out and said that White House Down was great and blah, blah.
Right. What,
did you guys ever see Evan with his phone? Like,
right.
We've seen better. Don't do this.
Stop. Right. Now all those people on my timeline the last 2 weeks like, Olympus Has Fallen is great, Rod. You were right. Yeah, I told you go see it in the fucking theater, man.
Right.
You late. Right. I've been right.
All right. We know what we're talking about here, man.
So yeah, Westworld is a HBO series that's going to be done by J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan.
Okay, I'm sold.
It's like, yeah.
Ain't no more, yo. It's like, I don't even know what is it. Nah, you're good.
Yeah.
Next topic, yo.
HBO. Stay winning, dog.
I might have to get HBO now. Yeah. Okay.
For people that do care about what it's about, something about robots. All right.
Oh, wait. So, J.J. Abrams, Jonathan Nolan, and robots?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, let me call up. I'm gonna call up Verizon right when I'm done with this, so I can order HBO now. When's this shit start?
Programmable human robots that you can make kill people. You can make them do. You can have them for sex. You can have them for labor. All kinds of shit. There was a movie based on this a long time ago, where Yul Brynner played the gunslinger robot, and he went crazy in the theme park and killed everybody. So. Hmm. It does. J.J. Abrams, Nolan. Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. When's this shit start? So I
let's see. The idea of HBO making a new version is tantalized. HBO is certainly the place for diva. Blah, blah, blah. Can I get a fucking date? There's no date on this thing, but.
All right. Well, when there's a date, I'll already have an HBO then. Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right.
Yeah. So anyway. yeah, I saw that shit. I was like, what? like a movie or oh really HBO not playing, just get the money, player. This is why I support y'all, dude. I never have looked at my HBO bill and went, nah, like I always find a way to make that shit work, dude. I'm like, you know what, a couple less Starbucks, I'll work this shit out, dude.
Right,
fuck that. Damn, JJ and Nolan. All right. And by the way, for people that are like, why Jonathan Nolan, what about Christopher? Jonathan Nolan is the one who writes the shit.
Right.
So in case you guys are like, but that's not Christopher. Yeah, but when's the last time you went, that Nolan movie was badly written? Right. Never? Okay. Then you're in. Trust me.
Right. It's the Nolans.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't know if this is on your thing, but they're, Christopher Nolan starting to shoot his movie Interstellar.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So they're starting to shoot that now. So I can't wait for
Matt.
That cast.
Matt Damon's attached to it now.
Matthew McConaughey.
Son.
Like this Jennifer, which is the chick
minute,
that
wait,
Jessica
Chastain. Since when are we happy about Matthew McConaughey?
When he's working with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much.
No. He actually does do good work. Let's keep it real here.
I give McConaughey, I do have to give him credit though. Like, he's one of those dudes that, kind of like Affleck, he never really transforms himself necessarily, but he also doesn't really, he's never sank a movie on his own. Like, it's not his fault if the shit don't work.
When there's a bad movie, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
But when it's some of his good movies, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I've seen some of his good stuff, but I think, like, my whole perception is that I see him in more of these cheesy ass romantic comedies.
Oh yeah, I don't count those shits. Like, yeah, I don't count that bullshit.
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't bother me ever since Aaron Eckhart played Two-Face.
Right.
Because that nigga went straight from simp to Two-Face, and I was like, oh, okay, my bad, Nolan. I apologize, bro.
Right.
Like, I heard, I was like, why are they putting that punk ass? Oh, well then. He put that gun to his head and then put that shit to Joker's head. I was like, oh, I see.
I'm sorry. I found something else. I don't know if you guys. This
go ahead.
It's breaking news to me. But looks like Bradley Cooper has been signed on officially as Rocket Raccoon.
Yep.
For Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
I did hear about that.
That is official. I heard about it being a rumor, but it was like it is official.
The casting for that movie seems like the craziest shit ever.
The craziest shit ever?
Yeah, not that it won't be good, but just it's like so rent. It's like, yeah, we're gonna get Glenn Close.
It seems like it shouldn't work, but
I'm sure it will.
It does seem like it shouldn't work. As soon as they said Batista, I was like, I don't know, I don't care. It's like, this motherfucker's a wrestler. I still don't care. No.
And then you see what he's cast for, and you're like, but that could actually work for him,
dude. It's one of those movies where if I walk out and I go, that was terrible, I'll look back at all the clues and be like, well, I should have known. But if I walk out and I go, that was fucking awesome, I'll look back at the same shit and be like, that's why I knew it was going to be awesome.
Like, the reason why I like the casting for this is because it is off the wall, because I think this is an off the wall movie.
Yeah.
And it's completely different from anything we've really seen from Marvel. And so I feel like this should be a ragtag group. I mean, they got Glenn Close in this fucking movie, dog. It's like, what? How did you get Glenn Close to sign up for this? Like, the shit they have going on right now, I'm looking at this cast, like, it's really, you know, you got Vin Diesel as Groot. You have, what's your name?
Glenn Close?
No. Skinny black chick, guy.
Oh, Zoe Saldana?
You got her in this movie. I mean, like, the cast is really all over the place. And you're just like, this is work. Yeah. Hey, this is absurd.
The good news is most people, and I'm among them, don't know shit about Guardians of the Galaxy. So
I think they can do this.
Right. So hopefully that makes it better.
I know about the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm, because I think the one guy that Batista's playing, he was actually an intelligent guy. That's why when I look at Batista, I'm like, you're a big dumb jock. And I'm like, I don't want you in this role and shit, but for the most part, I'm just going to let it go because, you know what, not many people know about him.
Right.
Let him have fun with
it. Yeah, I won't be able to be upset until I see it if it's not good, like, because I don't have any expectations. So, speaking of expectations, Kurt Russell is in talks to be in the Fast and Furious 7. Kurt Russell? As what?
Right, why?
I'm still wishing they would just stop already.
Oh, I know you don't like these movies, but me and Chris love them.
Oh yeah, so
like, I'm not even about to debate the debate
it
with you.
I don't want to debate you guys, because I admit I'm on that fringe that just does not like Fast and Furious.
Yeah, so yeah. Tony Jaa signed up, by the way.
Yeah.
For people that
be elephants in this shit too.
I don't know what they're doing with this one, because when the Fast 6 ended and you see Jason Statham, you're like, all right, cool, he's gonna be the main villain. But then you have this news here. You have the news that apparently they were trying to get Denzel Washington to sign up for two of the movies, and he turned it down. Thank God.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, listen, what are you guys doing? It sounds like you guys might be trying to ruin this. Let's keep it.
It's kind of funny though, because like, they are making more money than God with these movies.
Yeah, they are.
So it's funny that anyone would turn them down, that Denzel was like, nah. They're like, hey,
you know,
dude.
I honestly still think Denzel is above this series.
Oh, he is.
Denzel is one of those black actors that's why you don't see actors like Denzel or something starring in like these black comedies. Because, like, you know what? They're above that shit. They know they're better than that shit.
Well, he's definitely better than it, but he's also done Out of Time. So, you know, like, he's done Unstoppable. You know what I mean? Like, he could star in a bullshit movie.
Well, this is what I
every once
this.
In a while.
Well, even with Two Guns, it was good, but it was still bullshit. And this is what I explained to people. Denzel's not about to play second fiddle in this kind of movie, because when he's in Two Guns, it's still starring Denzel.
Exactly.
When you do Fast 7 and 8, it's not he's going to be in the movie. But he's not the focus of the movie, because it's going to be about Vin Diesel, Dom, and all, you know, their characters.
An Oscar.
Who's Oscar?
Who's Oscar?
No, I said that nigga won an Oscar. He's
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not even the matter. That's not even the point to me. It's just like, it's like Denzel wants to be, like, if he's going to do a movie, he's going to be the movie. Like, yeah. That is why you go to see that movie. The Fast series, it's just Denzel's not going to be that. There's no way he could be in that because there's been six other movies and it's never been about, like, even when The Rock's in the movie, it's not, well, The Rock's in it now, The Rock. It's like he's still sharing screen time. And even in Fast 6, he wasn't always on the screen because you had the focus was on the other characters. So, yeah, I just, that's why I'm like, yeah, I'm not shocked he turned this down. Like, yeah, he'll do, you'll see Denzel doing some bullshit movies, but they'll be his bullshit movies where mm-hmm. it's on him, you know? So.
Well, it's going to be interesting, man. I didn't think Denzel would do the shit either, but just I'm laughing at the fact they had the audacity to approach him because they make so much money now. They're just like, why not ask him?
Oh, dude, this is like that nerd. This is like Steve from, American Dad. When he gets bored and he does something special and he decides he's gonna go and ask the hot chick out.
Yes.
That's what this is like, bro.
Yes.
This is like, yo, we did Fast
hey,
6.
Roger, you know what I did want? It! Yeah! Hey.
What
are
we gonna do? Let's get fucking Denzel.
I feel like Denzel has never even seen a Fast and Furious movie. You know, like they come up to him and they're like, "Hey, man, we like you being what is this? Fast and Furious 7. Ooh, there's 7 of these? Yeah.
No,
who's in them? Who's in them? Well, we got Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, The Rock. Yeah, I'm not doing this.
What it is, they showed up at Denzel's having dinner. They show up and he's like, listen, we're just going to slide this number over here for this. All right, this is what we're going to do. So you tell us what number you want. And he's just like, they're like, who is that guy? I have no idea what the movie is. Like,
he became, hey, Denzel became racist like Michael Jordan when black people asking for autographs.
Right.
He's like, they're like, yeah, Tyrese, Ludacris, yeah, no niggas. No.
I'm the only black person in my movie, dog.
Yeah.
He shows up and he's like, you know, who are these other two guys?
Right.
That's that, like, that, like, one half eye closed and shit. And he has that look on it. That's when I was like, who are these other two niggas?
Can you imagine Denzel showing up on the Fast and Furious set with Tyrese and Ludacris? And he just goes and is like, listen, I want coffee, 2 creams.
And I also want these 2 niggas fired.
No, he says that to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah. And they're like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Yeah, I take my coffee with 2 sugars.
Right.
Yo, what are you talking about, man? Oh, you're not a key grip?
Right. I'm in the movie with you, Denzel. Yeah, yeah, we have a lot of background. We have a lot of extras.
Right, but you don't look nothing like me. How you doing my stunt double, yo?
Right. You know, we have a lot of extras on set, and, you know, it's good. I like, you know, black actors. I hope y'all make it one day. Right. You're able to star in some movies.
He's just like, but all of them Transformers.
Oh, shit.
You want to make
oh shit, man. Yeah, I can't. I would love to see Denzel even attempt to do this shit, man, because he would 100% be like, no, nigga, we not. This is not good. Can you? I want to see Denzel's face the first time he reads that script, dude.
Yo, I want to see what Denzel's face was when he woke up in the morning and saw that that was a headline that they had asked him for this movie. It's like, wait. They did? He probably didn't even know.
It never got past his publicist.
Right, it never got past
his first publicist. It has 3. It's like, yeah, I'll get fired if this gets to him.
Read this shit, was like, wait a minute, I never turned this down. And yeah, I know, I didn't. They called, they've been calling, I blocked their number.
Denzel looks at, like, the script somehow makes it to his desk. And Denzel does that serious face with that lean, and he's like, did you read this shit? You're fired. I don't know. I thought this already had happened, but I guess for some reason they're confirming it now. Daredevil is confirmed to be back in the family for Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, they keep re-saying this over and over again, but yeah, it's been back. I think they're just doing it now because of the Ben Affleck shit. Mm. But yeah, it's been back to Marvel for like 6-7 months now.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it. They were like, yeah, fuck, maybe, you know, let's bring this up because of Affleck, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's back. I wonder if video games are gonna become the new comic book when it comes to movies. I did not know all these motherfucking movies were getting made. I had heard rumors of a couple of them, but there's an Uncharted movie, a Metal Gear Solid movie, and a Mass Effect movie supposedly coming out.
Well, you know, they showed footage of World of Warcraft at San Diego Comic Con.
And Watch Dogs is just getting started, and that fucking game's not even out.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. The thing is, I mean, like, they're still looking for, I mean, you gotta look at other alternatives as far as, like, what you can make movies on. I mean, they had books in the past. They went from TV shows to their comic books. And, you know, I think the natural progression is to, video games, because, you know, they're a viable entertainment source. Like, people, you know, people try to put them down all the time. But you got to understand, the majority of video games, that they have rich backstories. They have rich stories, rich backstories. Like, you're getting probably as much, honestly, I think if you play through all three Mass Effects, you're probably getting more than what you got from The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And this is why I think
reading or watching the Lord of the Rings.
I actually think video games are better than movies at this point.
Oh, definitely.
No, no, no. And this is why I think that them trying to make movies off of video games is going to be a complete fail. Like, I think actually, when you make a movie off of a comic book, I think it works because going back and reading the comic books, you realize how much stuff you couldn't see. How much stuff it was just your imagination. Like, I've gone back and read some of these comic books and I'm like, holy shit, in my mind, I thought this was way more awesome than I thought of it going back and reading it. Mm-hmm. But with movies, they can actually do, I mean, with video games, they can actually do it. I mean, Mass Effect, really that last Mass Effect game, Mass Effect 3, it still had a lot of stuff you had to play it, but it felt so much closer to a movie you were playing as a part of.
I agree wholeheartedly.
It was incredible. Like, I felt like I was actually playing a movie.
Yeah, Arkham City feels like a graphic novel.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, how do you make a movie better than that shit? Because now, not only am I got all the stuff you want from a movie. You got a good script. You got good writing. You got good visuals. I am now as a consumer, you know, interacting with it, which is what movies they want you to do with movies. They want the audience to engage. Well, I'm engaged. I'm playing it. I'm actually making decisions in this. You can have multiple endings now. Like, movies can't compete with that shit. So I don't understand. Like, to me, them saying they're going to make a movie based off a video game is a complete fail. Mm. Because it's never going to be better than the video game itself.
That's a good point. Like, I didn't think about that.
You can make a. I think you can make a movie better than a book. You can make a movie better than a comic book. Because you can fill in some of the gaps, like with Watchmen. Not saying that Watchmen, the movie, is better than the comic book. I'm not trying to get into that discussion.
Right.
But
it is, but I know what you mean.
Like that, the fight scene in the jail was so much better in the movie to me than in reading in the comic book.
Right.
But if I was to play the game, I would actually play that fighting scene. So to me, it's like, I think that the studios are going to find that it's going to be a complete fail to try to do this. Like, maybe they can make a good one, but I don't think it'll have the same effect. Like, when I watch Avengers, I'm like, wow, that's like a comic book on film, and it's great.
Yeah.
How are you going to say, that's like a video game that I can't play on screen? Why not just
play it's, you know, I'm going to hold out hope that it could be good and it could happen, but only if they treat them like they did comic books. Because for a long time, the only reason that video game movies really failed was because nobody took them serious. It's like, we're just going to cast bullshit. We're going to have a bullshit story and nobody, you know, and you can tell when it was a big letdown as a nerd. You go there and you're like, y'all didn't even take this shit serious.
Right.
So if it gets to the point where people are taking comic book movies serious, I would like to see what happens. I'll put it that way. Right. Yeah. If they take it serious. Cause like, I think the last comic book movie I saw was, Prince of Persia.
Oh, you mean a video game movie?
Video game movie. Yes. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
They just don't take them serious.
I'll give you that. I mean, hi, Karen, first of all.
Yeah, so, Karen's here. She's a nerd. She never misses a nerd off.
But I will say that I'm with you on that one. If they're gonna do it, I don't think they could ever be better than video games. Treat it seriously. If you're gonna do, like, I just feel like that should be with any of these fucking movies. If you're gonna do anything based off a property that already exists, whether it's a book, comic book, a video game, a cartoon, or whatever, take that shit seriously because it has a fan base already.
Right.
Yeah, like, it's not like it's...
Don't fuck up the people who already love it. I mean, they're the ones who are going to get everyone else to come out there to see it. Just like, yeah, you know, it's based off this game. It has an awesome storyline. You know, they're going to be your biggest hype man during this whole entire period.
Right, and don't make me feel like an asshole because I'm like, oh, wow, they're doing an Assassin's Creed movie. And somebody's like, well, what's Assassin's Creed? Oh, it's a great video game. Yeah, you should go see this movie. And then I go to see the movie and it's some shit.
Right.
Because you guys didn't take it serious. Don't make me feel like an asshole.
Because, like, I'm hopeful for Assassin's Creed, but only because I heard Michael Fassbender's in it.
Exactly.
But if you take that same fucking, hey, Assassin's Creed has a movie, but then you tell me that, like, I don't know, Josh Brolin is playing, you know, the main character, I probably wouldn't be as excited. I'd be like, well, you know, he's had some flops before with franchises that were trying to get off the ground. So, you know, getting somebody like Fassbender is a big deal to relaunch something or to launch something. Especially if it's a good fit. So I don't know, man. Just thinking in history, though, I can't think of any good video game movies.
There hasn't been. There hasn't
actually
been.
You know, I can probably name a few. Cause
yeah,
I,
go
I,
ahead.
I've probably seen. You know what? I'll still give this some credit. And if you go back and watch it, it still kind of holds up to me outside of the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat, the first Mortal Kombat movie. As one that actually, you know what, I thought they took the source material and did what they could with it. And it, dude, you go back and watch the old Mortal Kombat movie, it's actually fun to watch.
You know what, man?
It is fun to watch.
Let me put it this way, because I don't like those movies, but I went and saw them in the theater.
I was about to say, if that's the same stuff we see in the theater, I got this. Them shits was terrible,
yeah.
Baby.
Karen is specifically talking about.
Real nerd,
shut up.
I think
one
of the better ones.
You nerd checking us, homie? You nerd checking me? Nah. Hey, well,
better ones, but it's still.
Well, you know what? I will say, Karen specifically talking about Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, okay. That was terrible.
Mortal Kombat 2 was fucking terrible.
Yeah, okay. I don't think anyone would argue
that
that's
garbage.
Good. But here's what I will say. Mortal Kombat, the like one that they did on the internet only, where it was like a Kickstarter to try to get a movie.
See or something, whatever the shit was.
Yeah, I had my issues with that one as well because they kind of went, if it didn't feel like, I thought they were going in one direction and they decided to go like right back to the old shit. And that's why I didn't care too much for that one.
Nah,
the first trailer I saw, like, was them interrogating someone who actually happened to be Scorpion.
Yeah.
And then they took the narrative to a whole different point after they finished with Jax and Sonya. Like, they just went on to a whole different route, and I wasn't feeling that. Like, I thought they were going to take the entire Mortal Kombat series, put it inside, like, a real-world type setting, almost comparable to that video game series Condemned. I don't know if you played that before.
Yeah, I played it.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do at first with it, and when they didn't go that route, I was just, you know, it kind of disappointed me.
Well, even so, Condemned gets crazy by the end of the game, but, yeah. I was just gonna say, though, like, that take on it, though, proved to me, like, there's stuff in that universe to explore, as opposed to...
Did
you play the most recent Mortal Kombat game?
No, I did not.
And the thing is, that story mode in that one, I mean, the story mode in that one, it starts, it's pretty much a retelling of the events of Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. You pretty much play every character in that video game, you play at some point during the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially a retelling of the entire series, but it's almost like what if something else happened? Mm-hmm. Or what if, like, Liu Kang didn't win the tournament or something else? And it's, you know, it has a great narrative. Everyone does all. They have voice actors for all the characters. It was a great new take on the old Mortal Kombat story. They took that original story and they tweaked it just so much that it felt great. And you were essentially playing the story from Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 all over again.
I think, especially, I think special effects have stepped up to a point where they could relaunch this now.
True.
And I think the medium is getting more credibility, and they could actually cast it with actual good actors. Because, like, I don't remember anyone. With who?
Like, they can actually use special effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not looking cheesy as hell.
Yeah. Because do you even remember? Do y'all even remember the people? Do y'all even remember the people who acted in the movies?
Yes.
They were bad.
Because I just don't remember them as actors. Like, I don't know what else they went on to do.
The only thing I do know is that the, wait a minute.
Christopher Lambert, right? Didn't he do that? Yeah.
Yeah, Christopher Lambert was in the first
one. That's the only guy I remember.
The guy who played Liu Kang, he actually did a couple Asian movies, and it's actually kind of funny because he was in the Legend of Chun-Li as well, but I've seen him in other shit too.
Which is also terrible, by the way.
Yeah, that's
I'm just saying, I feel like now, like, it's kind of like getting Fassbender for Assassin's Creed, where I actually know that dude and have no doubt that he'll go on to do bigger and better things. And he's already done great stuff. And I didn't feel that way at all about the casting of video game movies before this, except for The Rock. And even with The Rock in Doom, that was one of those, like, he was still on his come up. And I doubt he'd do that movie now.
They had The Rock, and wasn't Carl Urban in that movie too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my.
Still a guilty pleasure movie.
Yes.
I'm glad you guys said that because it's kind of mine too. Like, I shouldn't like that fucking movie, but I fucking like, because I remember playing that room game, and so the beginning of that game, that movie, is actually kind of like the beginning of that Doom game.
Yes.
I had so much fun with that shit. The Rock was such an asshole. Wait, he shot that one white kid. I need soldiers.
Yes. When you find out he's not the hero, that is the best. Yes. That's one of the best movie twists of all time, because everyone in the theater was like, but why is he killing people?
It came out of nowhere, yo. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna say that's one of my good examples of video game movies, dog.
Yeah, yeah, dog.
Like, they wanted him for Carl Urban's role.
Yes,
and he read it. And he's like, nah, I want Sarge.
Yep. Like, I can't even hate, man. Like, that was like, honestly, man, I'm glad y'all supported that, because I wanted to say that at first when I was like, there's no video good get video. I wanted to be like, except Doom. But I was like, if I say that, these niggas going to be like, Doom.
No, it's one of those movies that I watch too. And every time I watch, I'm like, why do I like this movie? I should not like this movie. But every time I watch it, because honestly, what was that? Was that Doom 3? No, what Doom was that came out?
I think it was Doom 3 at the time, or maybe it was Doom 2.
Whatever, it was the brand new Doom they came out with, and it's based just like that, and it kind of starts off the way that this that movie starts off, so it actually kind of follows the game a little bit.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, this is actually I don't want to say it's great or good, but it's not bad, to tell you the truth, and it's just yeah.
Actually, I just brought up the list of all the video game films.
Yeah.
If you want me to go.
Yeah, go ahead, man. We got time. Yeah. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Let's see here.
Just point out, the good ones that you.
I'm gonna point out the ones from the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah.
I think me and Phenom are actually gonna do this on We Watch Ratchet because it's on Netflix. Double Dragon.
That's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah,
no.
It's a bad movie. I've seen it before. It's a bad movie.
Oh, man. That was that's one of those letdown movies, too. I walked in the theater like, Mom!
Oh, I also got all their Rotten Tomatoes scores, too. So, Double Dragon is a zero. Mario Brothers and Street Fighter both at 13. Mortal Kombat was at 34.
Oh.
How is Mario Brothers not a zero, too?
Seriously.
Is that the truth?
How did that not catch the Ethan Hawke?
Like, that's
you gotta give me a minute, because there's so much more better stuff on this.
Okay,
list.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me get rid of some of the stuff that might be considered good. Mm. Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. The first Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can give you that one.
I think that's it for the good movies. And into the 2000s.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, because the rest of the movies we have here, House of the Dead, the second Resident Evil, Alone in the Dark.
Damn. Well,
no, we already crossed off Doom. That's a good movie. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Blood Rain.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, God.
Hey, you know what's funny though? They should have done, first of all, no U-Bo movies, but, second of all, what if they would have did a movie off of Typing of the Dead?
Right.
What would that look like?
Man, come on.
Hand me my laptop! Hand me my laptop!
Silent Hill? Yeah,
oh,
okay.
What did you guys think of Silent Hill?
I didn't like the original one. But I really do want to watch the one they came out with last year though. I think it's streaming on Netflix.
That one looked neat. Okay. Scary though, but neat.
No Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Damn, he's an all Uwe Boll movie.
Yes.
He has like a monopoly on doing video game movies.
Yes.
And he does them so bad.
Dead or Alive and shit.
Max Payne is on here.
I didn't like that movie.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Silent Hill from last year, Prince of Persia, Need for Speed is coming out. Apparently they want to make a Ratchet and Clank movie. I don't see how.
Me either.
Angry Birds movie. Come on, you're reaching.
Angry Birds a movie?
What, they're going to be just launching in the air? I don't understand this.
Actually, you know what, guys? That's probably going to be some Pixar type shit. So it might be good.
If Pixar does it, if they don't do it, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If Pixar does it.
It'd be cool, but I just don't trust anyone. Devil May Cry. I just don't trust that shit.
Yeah, see, that sounds exactly like some shit Yubo will be attached to.
Yeah, that does sound like his.
That sounds exact, because like, he always get the ones that you're like, "Ooh, Dead or Alive has a movie,"
right?
And you're like, "Oh,
you get it," and you're like,
"Yeah."
But he did a Dungeon Siege movie too, didn't he? Yeah.
You're like, "Oh wait, this is starring fucking Mario Van Peebles."
Never mind. I won't be watching ASI that.
Shooting Revolution. I don't know how the fuck they're going to make a Gran Turismo movie.
Me neither. Oh, actually, we covered the plot last week. It's going to be about an actual real life story of a video gamer who turned into a pro racer by playing video games.
Word.
And what movie did you say had Mario Van Peebles in it? Or?
No. I was saying, like, that's how you bow movies are, where you're like, such and such, you know, so and so got a movie.
If you can find it, what was it? The Blood Rain movie he did with the Blood Rain and, like, the Nazis.
Yeah.
Blood Rain, the Third Reich.
Third Reich. Oh my God. That movie turns into a porno. About halfway through. Like, I've never seen a movie where I'm just like, okay, can this bitch not take her titties out and fuck this other kid? All right. Like, it was that kind of movie where it's just like, I'm tired of seeing titties.
Right. This is Skinner Max.
How is that
level.
Possible?
Yeah. I didn't know it was possible until I saw that movie.
Because Yubo is so bad, he will ruin titties.
Yo, he ruined a titty-filled lesbian sex scene where I was just like, I feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, how bad it was, dog.
You're just looking at your watch like, when can I leave?
Right. That's not good. That's how you know you're bad at movies. When you can't make a lesbian titty-filled scene enjoyable.
But the thing is, y'all, I think the thing that upsets me the most is that, at least with video games, put like this, they have like a storyline, good or bad, but they have a storyline.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could be more disappointed than me after Nickelodeon did The Last Airbender and I was hype, and then I seen that bullshit and I was like, what the fuck is this? I want to burn the theater down because, like, this is some bullshit. You got a storyline. You, everything's laid out for you. You could put it this. I would have even dealt with you giving me the same thing back live action.
Right. Yeah. That was terrible too. All right.
Hi everybody. That's Karen.
Yeah. Karen's here. Zack Snyder, finally had enough nerds asking this question. So he addressed it.
Uh-oh.
He was talking to the Japan Times, and they asked him about all the casualties in Man of Steel. Nerds have been bringing this shit up ad nauseum for people that don't like it. Superman, of course, would never let this happen. He says, I wanted the movie to have a mythological feeling. In ancient mythology, mass deaths are used to symbolize disasters. In other countries like Greece and Japan, myths were recounted through generations, partly to answer unanswerable questions about death and violence. In America, we don't have that legacy of ancient mythology. Superman is probably the closest we get. It's a way of recounting the myth. So...
that's fucking incredible.
Right.
That's
a lot more thought put into it than how people made it sound, where they were just like, just because they don't like the character, they were just... Nah, mm-hmm. and you know what? That last fight does have.
I love that reference, dude. That's a great reference. I love that.
And that last fight does have a weight to it, mm-hmm. right. that I feel like no other Superman movie has had for me, where I felt like, yeah, you won, but at what cost? Like, oh, it yep, took yeah. everything for you to win that shit, man.
Yeah, the thing that I like that too. This is why I was saying when we did this on the Insanity Check, we brought up the whole Ben Affleck as Batman thing. I said that the pressure isn't really on Affleck, it's on Snyder, because he's the director and he's going to be the one that has to really bring it all together. And to me, Man of Steel might be Zack Snyder's best film to me, because it's so much different than what he does. If you notice Man of Steel, there's no slow motion.
Right.
There's nothing that's trademark Zack Snyder in it. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's one of his better films, because there is a weight to it. There is something so much deeper than what is normally in his film. Normally, this is why it pisses me off so much when I hear nerds say that, oh, it's Zack Snyder, he just went overboard with the action. There's like the first hour of that film really isn't going overboard with action. There's even the scenes on Krypton, which you've never seen on film before, had something to it. And he shot them, like, incredibly. It's like, to me, it's his best film ever.
Yeah,
and it showed me a lot of what I was hoping I would see from him in Sucker Punch, but didn't get. And it showed me what I saw. I'm like, okay, this is what I need more of from Zack Snyder. And if he can keep doing that, then I'm excited for Man of Steel 2, and I'm excited for Justice League, because he showed me he can really direct his ass off.
It does feel like, you know, it's two gods fighting in the middle of a city. With all that destruction, and it does feel mythological, man. So
it should be. I mean, like, what drives me incredibly insane about these complaints about Man of Steel is you do have two gods fighting. You know, it's not even like it's like they are two gods when you think about it.
Yep,
he's Super Fucking Man, and there's another god just like him, Zod, who is Super Fucking Man too. Right. You know, it's like they're indestructible. It's like,
and then in the movie, the place to fight is kind of picked for him. Like, he doesn't mm-hmm. get a chance to be like, meet me in the Sahara, and we're gonna.
And the city's already destroyed. Like, I keep telling people that the city was already kind of destroyed anyway, because Zod and them were doing that. But, you know, details people don't want to fucking listen to. But, yeah, whatever.
But it's just, you know, he didn't have a chance to pick where the throwdown went. So it was just one of those things where I could see them writing that in there, and I could also see, like I said, this being a huge, especially now that you know they thought about it, because I do believe mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Right. I could see this coming up in the next film as a plot point. Like, yeah, this is a thing that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
James Spader got cast as Ultron in the Avengers Age of Ultron. Although, is this weirding anybody else out that, like, half the news is like, well, it's not an Ultron film. And then you hear something like this, so you're like, well, like, is Ultron, like, at the very end of the shit? Like, what?
Why are they saying it's not an Ultron film?
Why is everyone trying to figure out the plot when they haven't even started shooting the movie yet?
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah,
I think that's what it is more. Because everyone sees these pictures, they see actors, oh, well, he's coming to play Ultron. Well, how's he going to play Ultron? I'm like, you know what? Just shut up and let them do their job and, you know, chill out. They got this.
But Rob, what are you saying that who said it wasn't going to be an Ultron?
When at Comic-Con, when it was first announced that the title was going to be Age of Ultron, there were like some quotes afterwards that were like, well, they're not saying it's going to be the Ultron film, or that he's necessarily going to even be the main villain. So they start like, and I can't remember. We covered it on the show, but I honestly can't remember the exact person who said it.
Okay.
But it was someone with that. I just remember it was somebody where I'm like, well, they would know. And it was kind of like everybody kind of calmed down. But then you hear this, and you're like, well, you know, maybe it is going to be. I like it. If anything, it just makes me feel like speculating so far out is just pointless because, you know.
I mean, that's what I was trying to get at. Like, to speculate that much of the storyline and plot, when you haven't even seen what they're going to introduce in like the next up and coming Marvel movies before the Avengers, I think it's just it's stupid. Right. I mean, you don't know what they're going to do.
And honestly, this was something I said, and I'm not saying everything I said was valid. Well, I feel it was valid, but when I was talking about Ben Affleck, this is one of the things I said was, it's not even really his fault. I think we've become inundated with so much comic book and movies and comic book movie news that it's almost impossible to keep impressing people because you're announcing shit so fucking early. Like, you know, the second somebody is like interviewed about possibly having a position as a as a star, it's like out there on the internet and people are reacting to it. You haven't seen a trailer, you haven't seen them in makeup. We haven't like we don't have anything to go off of other than the words, and the studios are part of the problem. Like, I know people are gonna act like they aren't, but like the studios leak these shits on purpose. They do these press releases. So like they're part of, they know that there's money to be made in the hype, and they're kind of pushing the hype on people, and I think it's turning some people off.
I think yes and no to that. They do like they the Affleck thing. They announce that stuff, but I think you have to. They've always announced casting something like that. The issue is that there really isn't any journalistic integrity behind any kind of putting the news out there.
Yeah.
So, like for instance, it's one of the big sites is Latino Review, and they're always leaking information and putting stuff out and saying rumors and things like that. And they have a horrible track record. But what happens is something like for instance, Cranston being cast as Lex Luger. Everybody was throwing that out there as being confirmed. Technically, it hasn't been. There's been no news on that. But like Rolling Stone was like printing the information. Everybody else was printing the information. Turns out when you find out where it came from, it's like there is no actual confirmation. Somebody printed their rumor.
Right.
And so what happens is you get this rumor and this stuff out there, then you get the leaked set pictures that people do, and some of them,
that's just the whole internet age right now. In general, right. Everyone wants to be the first person to drop that big news story.
Yeah.
So they put it up on their blog, and you know, like, hey, look what's happening.
Right.
Right. So what happens is, like, I follow one of these sites I go to for all my news, they do this, and I've stopped watching some of these videos. They'll have set videos of the unedited, like, stunts going on and things like that. And they'll post them on the site, and then you'll see the nerds go at it, and they'll be like, I remember when, because Nolan tries to run as close set as possible.
Yeah.
But people started getting, leaked pictures of the bat, of the flying arrow bat thing he had. And people were already like, oh, I hate this. This looks terrible. It looks disgusting. And they were already writing the movie off from that.
Yeah. Well, also, like, to me, some of it is on the studios too. Cause like, nobody made them leak that picture of a Sentinel.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, some of it is them trying to, like, they'll try to hype something up and fail. And then I'm like, well, now y'all didn't need to do that. Cause people already want to see this fucking movie, and shit is gonna leak without you trying anyway.
Yes, it is.
So why? So when you do leak something, it needs to be fucking cool. It needs to be like, hey, look at this shit. Instead of just being like, hey, we got this dude. It's like, what's the movie about?
They should have taken Bryan Singer's Twitter away from him. Like, he was on Chris Brown's ass with me. Why is he tweeting? Because everything Bryan Singer tweets about that fucking movie makes me hate the fucking movie.
Yeah.
He's the one that came out there and was like, hey guys, this is the fans. We brought back Halle Berry. Motherfucker, nobody wanted Halle Berry. It's
crickets. Right, no. Just crickets everywhere.
You know, he did that. I mean, it's like his leaked stuff, terrible. But then with the stuff they brought to Comic-Con, it was like, oh wow, this is awesome. Then what does he do? He then leaks the full image of, he puts up the full image of the Sentinel, and you're like, God damn you.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, man.
Another quick story that I saw was, Japan is going to start a fasting camps for over 500,000 school age kids who are pathologically addicted to the internet. So they're going to put you in a camp. 8.1% of,
it's like these kids are addicted to life.
The study conducted by Nihon University surveyed 100,000 students, finding 8.1% to be in suspected state of internet addiction.
What are the criteria for this?
Well, I assume 8.1% answered honestly.
Not true.
Of those who demonstrated symptoms of internet addiction, including increasing absorption in the obsession with online activities at all hours of the day, symptoms of depression, decrease in school performance, and deep vein thrombosis.
What the hell is that?
I've never heard of deep vein.
I'm about to say, how you deep throat a computer? I don't understand this.
Deep throat? No, deep vein.
Oh.
It's the formation of a blood clot in a deep vein, predominantly in the legs. Non-specific signs may include pain, swelling, redness, warmness, and engorged superficial veins, pulmonary embolism. It happens to who?
It's something that usually happens to people who fly for long distances from sitting in the same spot for hours on end. It comes from that.
Ah, okay. Well, they're going to start internet-free camps where they separate children from their computers, smartphones, or portable gaming consoles.
You know what? I was going to say that this was ridiculous, and then I remember you said it was Japan, and yeah. No, I can believe that because, they actually do have an internet addiction problem.
And I've seen Sword Art Online, and that's pretty much the plot is people get stuck in these games and they don't want to do anything else with their lives.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
And their internet is 1,000 times faster than ours here in the United States, so they ought to be addicted.
Well, they also don't have as much land, so I could understand. I wouldn't want to do a bunch of shit either if it was
room. I mean, the technology shit they do over there is fucking absurd. And they have a serious problem with this internet addiction shit. So,
just like
we have fat camps. They need internet addiction camps.
Well, if you look in the chat room, I think I've come up with a solution to this. The next article. There's now a girlfriend body pillow.
Boyfriend body pillow?
Yeah, there was a boyfriend one, and now there's a girlfriend one.
Does it smell like vagina? Because if not, what's the point?
It is 326% more expensive because, dudes will
vagina
pay more.
Vagina costs.
I feel like they should just give the kids this at the internet camp. And they'll feel like they do have a friend, like they know somebody. Like, here's your girlfriend pillow, $39. Stay off the internet and you'll be fine. There you go. Kinect voice control will be late in 8 countries on launch.
Oh, shit.
I guess it can be expected because it's like being released in like 22 different countries with different languages and 8 of them haven't been necessarily perfected yet. But I will say it does kind of speak about the fact that they're really pushing these consoles as fast as possible. Like, there's a that competition is a beast, man. You got to get your shit out there and get people to buy it and then kind of hope for the best. And that's what this kind of seems like to me, where it's like, hey, get the Xboxes sold, man.
Yeah. If you in Zimbabwe, Kabuta, we'll
work
on
later, dog. Like, learn English. But yes. The shit, like,
learn American.
Yeah. Sony has already announced 11/15, so we don't have time to fuck around with y'all. I like this story. There's going to be a concussion robot that will debut for the Northern Arizona football game, where they have a robot where a doctor can remotely check you for a concussion.
What?
Because nothing would calm a concussed person down more than a robot in their face asking them questions.
What are they going to do? Push that damn thing over? You got a concussion. They might hit it with their head. I don't know.
I just feel like no matter what, this will make me feel like I have a concussion.
Yeah. You go, why am I seeing computer monitors? Where did you come from? Why is this speaking to me?
It's like, I'm actually okay. Wait a minute. Are you a computer? how many fingers am I holding up? None, you fucking robot. Get off me. Those aren't real fingers.
You wake up thinking you're John Connor and shit, y'all.
Are you okay?
We've been taken over.
Xbox Live has replaced the Xbox Game Store with the Xbox Live Marketplace. And now everything is in cash, by the way. I made my first cash transaction, and that was when I realized Need for Speed cars cost $6. And I was like, oh.
That's when I bought, whatchamacallit? Bully, because it was like $250. Yeah, sure.
Right. Yeah. Like it, but it does make you think because you're like, that's a lot of money, or that's a little bit of money because you actually
like
money.
That better because that 400, those Microsoft points, they're just like, oh yeah, just give me that.
Yes.
I got tired of trying to convert that shit too, man.
Yeah. And but what was cool was I don't know if like it, I guess when you first log in and it updates, it takes you to zero, right? It says you have 0 points. But when you try to actually buy something, it tells you what your balance was. And when I did, it was like, oh, you want to buy this game? Well, you actually have $7. Do you want to apply that towards this? And I was like, yep. It's like, well, now it's only $6 for this game. So, but yeah, that's cool. Zelda the Wind Waker, is getting released again.
Why?
In HD for Wii U. And I just gotta say, this is why I fucking hate Nintendo.
Yes. And I enjoyed that game, man, but fuck you for re-releasing the same shit.
Over and over. Again,
so I'm not too bad about the re-release, but Nintendo is famous for that bullshit.
I hate it, man. It's bullshit, man, because...
Actually, I wouldn't even say that much, but they never re-release the ones people really want to play again.
Yeah.
Like, they'll re-release games, but it never seems like they re-release the ones that everyone else wants to play or something.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, honestly, it's fucked up, man. Stop doing this. Like,
and taking my money.
People buy these games because they're excited about them and shit, and they want, you know, they buy a console and they want new shit, man. Like, make new shit. Stop doing this. Like, don't y'all have a team that instead of converting something to HD could, like, I don't know, make a good Zelda game? Like, make another one? Can't you possibly release, like, two Zelda games in a console cycle instead of just one?
I've never understood
that. It's such a fucking ripoff, man. Every other console company is able to do it. Why can't Nintendo?
And some consoles, you have 2, 3, 4 versions of the game on one console, but I can't get more than one Zelda.
There's fucking 5 versions of Halo on, like, just this Xbox. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Halo this, Halo that. It'll really be like one Zelda, and then they'll put like Link in the Smash Brothers.
Yeah. And I think that's a test to like Nintendo's whole development staff, especially that team that's made Metroid, Zelda, Mario, and all those. I mean, they made all those games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think they like to take their time on their shit, but it's always been, I think it's always been that same, pretty much that same team that had like the overall say what goes into those kind of games. So, I mean, I don't know. I love their games, but yeah, you got a point. They don't come out that often. Mm-mm. But on that same token, you look at games where they're like Assassin's Creed, Madden, and stuff like that. You get new ones every single year. Sometimes that just, it's just too much for me.
Yeah.
More so especially with like Call of Duty and stuff, which is why I don't even know if I want to buy Ghost right now. It's because of the fact that, you know what, it's... What's the whole point of me playing that multiplayer all over for the entire year if I just got to buy a new one the next year?
I guess my thing is this. I'm not, especially with Zelda, I'm not trying to say you have to come out with one every year, but right. I want at least 1, 2 to 3 per
in a life cycle.
See, you're already asking too much from Nintendo.
But think about it. Like, the Xbox 360 and PS3 both have 10-year life cycles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like... If I'm gonna buy a console, I think that's a reasonable expectation from now on. Is that this is now gonna be something that I have for years. And I don't think this is the 80s anymore, man. You gotta fucking make more than one of your franchise games, man.
Here's the problem you guys are forgetting. Mm. You guys are thinking like Americans and not like Japanese. And, yeah. They don't give a fuck about Americans.
Mm.
Let's keep it real.
You know what?
Nintendo does not give a fuck about us.
It's not even Nintendo, dude. If you think about it, look at all those big name Japanese franchises, Final Fantasy, even Street Fighter to an extent. I mean, they've only had, like, they'll put out multiple iterations of, like, one Street Fighter, but it was maybe, like, what, 6, 7 years before between Street Fighter 3 and Street Fighter 4? Like, most Japanese companies, if you look back, they do that with their bigger name games. They don't really push them out there like that. No.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about us. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, there's 37 versions of Pokemon on every console.
They don't give a fuck about you.
I don't know, dude. This is bullshit, man.
You know what? And the thing with Pokemon, though, I think more so is that Nintendo knows they have a gold mine with that,
mm-hmm.
and they know it attracts the younger kids, so they gotta keep. I think with that one, they know they have to keep.
I think the reason why that is, I think that's probably huge over there in Japan.
Yeah,
and
true. I mean, if you think about back in the day when they had the first Pokemon games come out, like you didn't get like a proper sequel to like the first Pokemon game until maybe like 3 years later, and then only recently have they started churning out Pokemon games like that. And actually, you know, if you even think about it, they don't have many for each generation of Pokemon. They'll have like three games, but they all have like the same generation of Pokemon. I think they're only on their fifth generation. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, they don't really churn out that much, but they just put out, I mean, they put out multiple copies of one thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying. Shit is whack.
Well, me and my American mind do not have to accept this.
Yeah.
And I bullshit. Can request that you make more than one per console.
Right. That's bullshit. They can do it. Xbox One will download your purchases while you're away. Here's the thing. I don't know if people know this. It can do that now on Xbox 360.
Xbox 360 does that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here's the other thing that people might not know. In order to do that, your Xbox has to always be on.
Right. Here's another thing you might not know in order to do that. PlayStation 4 can do it, and it has to always be on.
Yeah, amazing.
You know what? That's the one thing that always bugged me, that still bugs me about the E3 is that you don't really know what the PlayStation 4 can really do outside of playing, like, some awesome-looking games.
Right.
That can play games! And what more do you need to know, Kev?
That was the trick.
Right. What more do you need to know? What? You don't want to pay $400 for a system that does more than play games? Well, no, why would you want to do that?
I don't want to fucking pay $400 for a system that just plays games.
Fuck it.
It's
I
a
hate
fucking people. Computer.
I hate when fucking people said that shit. I don't want my $400 piece of machinery to play games. That's it. You're a fucking moron then.
By the way, speaking of which, I remember when we had Ian on here, he was talking about how to Kinect. He wasn't excited about Kinect coming with the Xbox One. And I was like, okay, but imagine if they've increased and made the voice quality better. If they made the audio quality better, they made understanding better. It's possible that
happened anyway.
Yeah, you know, like it's possible that the Kinect will actually become better than it was on the Xbox 360. Right. Well, Major Nelson released some chat audio samples of the Xbox 360 compared to the Xbox One chat. I'm gonna play it for you guys real quick.
Yeah, I did listen to it earlier.
So. All right, cool. Here's the Xbox One. Oh wait, hold on. I gotta turn this up. I have it way down too low. Where's my speakers? All right, and there we go. Turn this bitch up. Turn these bitches up. All right, this is the Xbox 360 audio quality.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
All right, and this is Xbox One.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, already. Just saying.
But that's the thing that again, like, would piss me off when people were. This goes back to what we were saying about even with the movies. How shit's not out with the movies, but people are already speculating on how much they hate it and blah, blah, blah. Same shit happened with these next generation consoles, all right? I remember when Xbox came out and said that the Kinect camera is going to be way better, the microphone is going to be way better. We now have more points of contact for distinguishing people with the camera and things like that. It's like, so people go, but the Xbox 360's that Kinect is terrible. First of all, it's not terrible. Right. Second of all, the Xbox One is going to be even better.
Right.
So what the fuck is your issue here?
Speaking of issues, Nintendo dropped the Wii U price $50 last week.
Games, $50.
September 20th, the Wii U Deluxe model will now be available for $299.
And nobody's gonna buy it.
Yeah. Sure ain't.
Well, this is what happens when you don't release games, y'all.
Right.
To be quite honest, like
here in America,
This is why their shit drops in price. It's why their games stay high in price forever, and there's never really a used market. Because
that's
motherfuckers,
all you got to play.
Right? If I can only play fucking Wii Sports and Mario Galaxy, I'm gonna hold on to that shit forever, dude. Is what am I trading it in for? So
right.
Anyway, hate those motherfuckers. I was talking about this earlier and a couple people tried to I didn't feel like explaining the shit to be quite honest on Twitter. It was one of those conversations where it was going to become too fucking long and everybody on Twitter knows the one exception to everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Mortal Instruments failed in the box office. And I said, I'm glad because a lot of these teen movies are starting to fail.
Yeah.
Because the genre's getting oversaturated. It's a bunch of fucking hot and shirtless vampires.
They keep taking every fucking book that some bitch decides to write. It's like, oh, let me write a teen drama so girls can connect with this character.
Yes.
They just randomly pick one off the shelf and it's like, hey, let's try to make a movie series out of this one. Harry Potter, I think, did it the most successfully. Twilight had enough backing to where it was able to, you know, extend those movies, but honestly, the other series haven't really done much. They tried to do a second Percy Jackson movie.
Yep.
As someone who actually read I've read all 8 books in that series, I thought what they did was atrocious.
Yep.
And like, you know what? They keep doing this. They keep dropping these out here because, you know, it's almost like them just trying to make random movies off of video games back in the 90s. And yep. Like, oh, let's do Mortal Kombat.
I think I'm number 7 came out. Like a bunch of these movies, man. Is that what it is? I'm number 4.
I am number 4.
My take.
They got a bunch of other sequels like The Power of 9 or the 7 of 8s and
the ones who play Hearts.
Yeah, well, I'm number 4 was like a movie that actually wasn't terrible, but it was suffers because all these movies are the same. It's tween white girl doesn't know how special she is.
Yeah.
They're all the same. It's just
it's tween white girl.
Tween white girl the market that needs the most help in America right now?
The tween white girl that hasn't come to terms with her white privilege, dog.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It is. It's a coming of age white privilege movie, dog. None of these are. This is a Jackson John movie.
Chris, are you breaking into a bank or something?
I'm sorry, I just dropped something.
He's burying a body.
I'm like, this nigga's robbing a bank.
Making meth.
Yeah, you know. Gotta make money some kind of way. You know?
But I'm glad it failed.
Me too.
$60 million.
They didn't even send us that the screener for that one too, and that was one of the ones I wish we would have got because me and Brandon would have went to it and had a lot of fucking fun recording a funny ass review for it. So.
$60 million budget. It made $9.3 million.
Oh, are you for real? Mm-hmm. Surprised it made that much.
Like they've been doing this with fairy tales for a while,
yes,
but
they have.
It, like I'm glad these shits are failing. That's all.
Me too.
Like,
the only one that they've done with fairy tales that actually worked for me, and it wasn't really a good movie. Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
That shit.
Still
ain't
seen that one yet.
That shit was so awesome.
It's just a impossible white man movie loosely disguised as a fucking fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale movie at all.
No, nothing at all about that shit, dog.
It's so.
They're basically having bar fights.
Yes.
For their fight scenes, dog. There's no like strategy or anything with this shit.
Yeah.
It's basically hit them with whatever you can pick up.
It's like 1 hour and 18 minutes too. Like it's not even trying to be. I went in there and I was sleepy, and it woke me up. What the fuck am I watching? Like you had to lean forward to be like, the fuck is this now? What happened? Is that a witch with a gun? Did this nigga just shoot a witch with a shotgun to the face?
What year is this? Like, how do they have that technology?
What year is this?
I don't care.
Why does she have a sword? Like, it's so badly good. But Sony TV is trying to produce a TV series based off of Robert Rodriguez El Mariachi. Okay.
No.
Okay. One more time.
You know El Mariachi, the Antonio Banderas, Desperado, and they're trying to make a TV series based off of that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't know why. I don't know why. And Robert Rodriguez isn't really happy, and he's not involved with the show. Also,
why he's not happy.
Yeah. So why are they doing this? The original El Mariachi had a budget of $7,000.
I don't think I ever saw that original one. I do remember Desperado. I'm not gonna lie, Desperado was one of my favorite movies growing up, y'all. I love that shit.
Yeah.
The only thing I fucking remember, I don't even know it was Desperado. It was like the motherfucker who had a rocket launcher in a suitcase.
Yes.
Or was it a guitar case? That's the only one I remember from that
movie.
That's it. And like the motherfucker, I remember watching that shit as a kid, like with my cousins. And like I see this dude do this weird ass pose and shoot something out of a guitar case, I immediately grabbed like my gym bag and started doing that shit in the garage. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris, go ahead.
That's why it was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And yes, that is why I like it.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yes.
I remember Quentin Tarantino's in there, and yeah, they had like a secret room in the shitty bathroom. Mm-hmm. He kills everybody in Antonio Banderas' character kills everybody in the bar area. A lot of people died, and there's machine guns and rocket launchers in a suitcase.
And Selma Hayek's in it.
Oh, Selma, mm-hmm. And she's in there looking amazing.
When she was still she's still hot, but when she was super hot.
I was about to say, don't do that.
She's super hot though. She was
super hot. Speaking of super hot, I just earlier today they showed The Mask. And yeah, Cameron Diaz. Yeah, mm-hmm. Back in the day,
she wasn't cute back in the day. You know what?
She was cute back in the day.
What? I don't. You know what? I gotta go back and look at.
Yeah. Movie. Okay. I'm just saying.
She always looks old to me. Dude.
Well, you know what it is though. Now like she does. The problem that she had, and it's Meg Ryan has this too, where you were so cute that just getting back to like normal aging makes everybody be like, happened to you?
She also smokes.
And oh,
so
really?
So that's, she has the...
You can tell.
Yeah.
The smoker's lines on your face.
10 packs a day habit type deal going on. So, yeah.
She seems like a cool chick, man, but...
Kev, go back and watch The Mask. I was watching today, I was like, oh, yeah, that white girl could have gotten it. Yeah.
Only thing for me is she still ain't have no ass at no point.
Still no ass.
Yeah, so that was, like, really disappointing because a lot of her movies are from the waist up. And I was like, oh, she could get it. And then I finally saw a couple movies where it showed her dancing and shit.
You know what it was? It was the damn Charles Angels movie where they had
The underwear.
And the underwear.
Ruined my life.
But, bitch, you ain't got no ass to be doing. She was Miley Cyrus. She was pulled the Miley Cyrus trying to twirl.
Oh, she did.
Ass.
Yeah. Ruined my life. I was like, I'm out of love with you. So yeah. Here's my favorite part about this article though. Robert Rodriguez's reps released a statement. Not only does Robert not have any involvement in this show, he wasn't even given a heads up on Sony's press release.
Oh shit.
In it, we noticed that Sony mentioned something about staying true to the original story. Good luck with that without involving the creator. not that it matters, as the budget that's allocated for the television production will make Robert's original budget of $7,000 for El Mariachi look like Avatar.
This
TV series is a sloppy and lazy replica for the tourist trade without any of the heart and soul that made the original El Mariachi win the Sundance Audience Award and become a landmark in independent cinema. Mm, three snaps in a circle.
Yes.
And then
it got an exclamation point in it.
It did have an exclamation point in it.
It sounded like it did.
One of those sentences is like, the fuck? But all right, last two stories. Online games are a playground for organized crime, according to a security expert. Like, criminals can meet on these online games and talk. They can also rob people and do cyber attacks
in real life.
Yeah, in real life. Like, they meet. This is a meeting place for them to like. Figure out how to do shit.
So they met with their characters, with the dwarf and the witch and the wardrobe and everybody hey, we're going to commit crimes.
Real crime, like they coordinate real crimes, but they meet in these online games and they can do stuff like steal your information, get in your bank account.
But they got to be creatures and stuff, be a part of the world or no?
Yeah, they got to be part of the world too. But that's how they figure out the weaknesses.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people, they download all these fucking online games because they're free and shit. Because they're like freemium, where it's like, hey, you want to buy this sword? Then you can buy it. But what they don't do is like, they don't know which games are secure and which ones aren't. Because some companies don't patch their shit. Sometimes, you know, when you're freemium and your shit goes under, you're like, I'm not going to keep fucking like, you know,
updating
the security. Yeah. And all of a sudden, motherfuckers are trading with your Amazon card and you're like, what happened? So watch your back, people that download
shit. When you originally said this story, I envisioned you talking about like these dudes are like in a party chat playing Call of Duty, plotting their next crime, or like when a GTA Online comes out, mm-hmm. These dudes are practicing their heists.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, yeah. I'm glad I wouldn't know the one, Chris.
You're 10 seconds too slow. We gotta be faster next time. We're gonna hit this Wachovia in real life.
Yep. So now they're talking about actually stealing your real life shit and fucking your life up. Last story. I just thought this was cool. EA is introducing refunds on Origin full games. Origin is an online game store that EA owns where you can buy like digital games, for your PC and physical games for some other like consoles and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things people always worry about is if I buy a digital game, now I'm stuck with it. Mm-hmm. And people will especially use this against the Xbox when they were talking about online digital sales. Well, Origin's doing it. If you don't like the game, or if you, simply, you know, yeah, basically it's not even if it malfunctions, cause obviously, you know, it's not going to malfunction, but if you pre-order the game within the first 7 days after the game's release, you can, send it back. If you buy the game the day of or whatever, you have 24 hours after you first launch the game within 7 days from the day you purchased it, and you can send it back. So, and get a full refund.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
That's smart.
I think this is them testing out to see how it will work, because didn't Microsoft say that this is also going to be how on the the developers of the game on how they implement some of this stuff. So I think that if EA starts doing this stuff, it'll be easy for them to then translate it over into doing the same thing.
Yep.
In the Xbox Marketplace. Oh, I'm excited for this, because like I said, I've been doing more of the buying, downloading online games, stuff like that.
Yep.
Because I've been doing it with games that I know I'm gonna like, mm-hmm. and I know I'm gonna keep it out of mind. But if they can do this shit, yeah, man, that'll be great.
Yeah, I'm hopeful.
Me too.
P-Funk has a question. I think we're going to make this user question of the day. We've never done this segment before. But he was just talking about Borderlands, and he said he would love an animated Borderlands series. And I saw a couple people go like, well, how would they do that? And I was thinking, man, like...
it shouldn't be even that hard. I mean, it should be like in a simple Adult Swim cartoon.
Yeah.
So you want to see like a more like funny version, or like a... Because I was thinking like they could actually do... like Sword Art Online. I know you guys haven't watched it, but like a serious anime based around the world of, you know, where not, and by serious, I just mean they treat it seriously, not because Borderlands is a very funny game, and there's plenty of fun to be had, but like they could do backstories to the characters, and like,
oh,
it could, you know, be real dope.
They actually have that in the game, and you know what, that's a great idea too, Rob, cause they have like hidden voice recorders around scattered throughout the game. Like 5 or 6 for each character that tells their backstory.
Yep.
Why not do something like that as an animated version for it?
Yeah.
Oh, would you mean something similar to like a Cowboy Bebop?
Not Cowboy Bebop necessarily, because that's a little more linear, and Borderlands is really, like, honestly.
What do you mean by that?
Linear is in like they tell that story in 26 episodes and that's it.
Okay. Okay.
Borderlands is very open ended. There's all kinds of DLC.
Okay. And you can always add to it.
Yeah. They could easily make this a really good cartoon series, in my opinion.
Yes.
You know what? Kev brought it up when he said an Adult Swim. Yo, imagine this. Something like the Venture Brothers, but
oh,
like
my
Borderlands
God.
2. Dude, because think about Borderlands 2, how many Easter eggs for different things they do.
Yeah.
Like, it actually is kind of like the Venture Brothers, with how they have the different characters showing up. Like, you'll have the Fantastic Four, but it's a different kind of version of it. Like, they could do that with Borderlands 2.
Yeah, it kind of, like I said, it reminds me of anime, because anime does a lot of like, well, there's one episode, Tiny Tina shows up, and you fall in love with that character. It's very funny, but it doesn't detract from the overall arc of the serious story. Like, some stories are serious, because like the Jack shit is kind of serious.
Yeah.
Cause if, like, people that pay attention to Borderlands story, it's twisted as fuck.
Oh yeah, no it is.
Like, but I still love it or whatever, but it is twisted as fuck. So it can get dark, and anime does it well. The only reason I was like saying, like, I'd be careful with just Adult Swim, because sometimes, like, the Venture Brothers is so fucking funny. And everything on there is so fucking funny that I don't know that they do something too serious, but, it can be done. Put it like, it can be done. And I would watch it. So.
Yeah, I would watch that.
I agree with you, P-Funk. That's a great idea, man. All right. Well, this has been the Nerd Off. Thank y'all so much for spending 2 hours on a Friday night with us, man. Like, and Chris and Kev, especially thank y'all for coming through and doing this, man. Cause like, I was not going to be able to do this shit tomorrow. And I was like, I was actually planning on doing Playing Dead today. And, It looked like it was going to be next week instead.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, We should meet anyway, man. We should talk about nerd shit no matter what.
Never mind. That's another thing. I played season 4, episode 4 yesterday, and I thought we were going to do playing it today too.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss this after I do episode 3, 5, and probably more next time we do playing dead. Episode 4 might be my favorite episode out of this one so far.
Okay.
I'm not playing, so we'll discuss that. But yeah, I was actually thinking about doing a playing dead episode today, but not doing the playing dead, but talking about what we talked about before, the Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah.
We still got to do that one day where we just have an episode where it's not the playing dead. Well, it'll be the playing dead, but we won't be talking about the game. We'll be talking about the Astonishing X-Men comic book. I think the you two have read it already.
I've read it and watched it again.
Right. So. I think that'll be a good one.
And I can even give it to Karen for her to read if she wants to.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I think that'd be great. Yeah, do that.
I've never read that before.
Because we only have 3 more episodes of The Playing Dead to do. We have episode 4, episode 5, and then the DLC.
Yep.
So after that, if they haven't released season 2 yet, we'll still be doing Playing Dead episodes. We'll need something to talk about. So
yeah,
definitely give her to her to read.
I will.
It's a good read. Okay. And we can talk about it. So
Karen, were you going to say something before you say that? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, all right, man. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening to the Nerd Off from the Blackout Test Premium Podcast Selection. Peace.